Let's all pray that God would indeed meet with us and speak to us now. So let's pray. Lord, please speak to all our hearts right now. Help us to listen attentively to your voice, humbly to receive your truth, and to respond obediently to your revealed will for our lives as we are guided by your Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we come to the third and the final sermon in the series, Trust in Difficult Circumstances. And during these weeks we've tried to consider together something more of what the Lord may want to make known to all of us as individuals or as a church community and fellowship. I hope that you might have found that reading through at home all of the three Bible readings set for each week, because we have three at 8 o'clock and then two at 10, etc. So what I've tried also to do is to sort of underline the fact that the totality, if you like, the entirety of the scriptures, to put together the readings from the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Gospels. And I hope that perhaps as you've read those through, if you've been able to do that, it has helped in thinking through and praying about what is, I think, a far from easy subject, trust. Trust in difficult circumstances. Because I believe this topic has, does, or will concern or affect each and every one of us at some stage in our personal life, or maybe in our family, or at work, or even in our church life. I imagine, obviously, that there's, I would guess anyway, that there's no one present here today now who knows nothing at all about trust in difficult circumstances. I want to ask you to put your hand up if you don't know anything about difficult circumstances, but I guess that affects everybody at some stage, doesn't it? Since Ruth and I started attending All Saints in 2001, the fellowship has been hit with a number of things that I think have tested our trust and have in fact caused us to lean more heavily upon the Lord. Whether some of you may or some of you may not know, it was only last Sunday that it was announced that Brendan would be leaving his leadership role at SHAC, our Indigenous Aboriginal Church, linked with us in partnership, that Brendan will be leaving at the end of the year to take up further training in Perth, WA. So we do indeed need to pray for SHAC, for its continued ministry growth, for our sisters and brothers in that fellowship, because they face difficult circumstances. And we are in partnership together with them. So this morning, we'll again look at things from today's readings. In fact, all three that are set, two that we heard, because although, of course, it just sort of lists on the thing, you know, one passage or one reading, it is, in fact, we're going to look at all three, think about them and pray about them. Because, as I said before, I think it's important to realise that we put together how they speak to us about the Lord and his dealings with his people. I said last week that I love the way that the Bible talks honestly and openly without any pretense about situations, about people, and about their response to the situations where they find themselves, what is happening to them. So we learn and we grow through what we read, study, and pray over. That's why it's important that not just in church worship service, but at home we look at the scriptures and say, what is God going to teach me? How is he going to guide me? What can I pray about? What can I learn? In Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 21, Matthew 17, we hear of the father who says that his son suffers badly from seizures. And these have often caused him to fall, says his dad, to fall into the fire or into the water. In desperation, he brings his boys to the disciples to see if they can do something. But no result. Nothing happens. So he throws himself at the feet of Jesus and pleads for mercy upon the lad. Jesus says, "Bring him here to me." And he heals him. But later, when they're in private together, the disciples ask their master why they couldn't do anything. Why they could do nothing to help in these difficult circumstances. And they're told that it is because they have so little faith. But Jesus goes on. I think it's important to remember that Jesus then says, if only they have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, then they can still do great things. A little personal note, if you like, excuse me being personal, but on Tuesday, just a few days ago, I finished up at home a small jar of whole grain mustard. You ever tried any of that? The whole grain mustard? You have? Good. That's right. A few heads nodding, I see. And I put that on my sandwich. The seeds were only tiny, but they flavoured the sandwich. As I looked at the size of those seeds, I was glad that Jesus didn't say that I had to have a tremendous faith. The amount of my faith is not important. It is where I place my faith that is vital. That's what matters. Sometimes you may have had say to you some people who say, "Oh, I wish I had your faith." But you see, my faith and yours won't do for anybody else. They have to have faith themselves. It's a personal thing for everyone. It has to be placed in the Lord, not in our experience or our example. I go to my doctor because I trust him, not because Ruth believes in him. Her recommendation may encourage me to go to him, but I still need to have faith in him myself if I am to do what he says. What he says to me and tells me to do. Note the difference. I think it's the same for Christians. With regard to the importance of our faith, if you like, our recommendation about the Lord. But there's still the need for others to respond to the Lord Jesus themselves. Both are needed. Jesus talks about faith, and he said to the disciples something about moving mountains. But if they have faith. Do any of you know where Coal Cliff is? Do you know Coal Cliff? You seen that? All right. Okay, it's somewhere just before Stanwell Park, isn't it? Is that right? Perhaps you've been through there on a train to Sydney. Anybody seen that as they go through on the train? And you've seen the great black piles everywhere, haven't you? Right? Piled up. A story is told of this lady who had a house near there whose view was ruined by those hideous great lumps. Apparently she went to a Christian meeting where the preacher said Jesus had promised that if we had faith that small, we could ask for a mountain to be moved. And it would be. So she prayed that night when she got home, saying she really did have faith. And she truly believed that Jesus could move that great pile that was spoiling her view. And she asked him to do it. So then she closed her curtains and went to bed. Went fast asleep. In the morning she got up and she opened her curtains. And it was still there. There it was. "There. I knew you couldn't really do it," she said. Well, of course, that's not a true story, you know, is it? But I think it challenges my faith in the Lord Jesus. Do I truly, truly trust in him and in his power? Or just say that I do? When you and I are faced with difficult circumstances, do we really trust that the Sovereign Lord is close alongside? Trust that he is in control. Trust that he will bless us in those circumstances. Trust that he will bring glory to his name and through what is happening, extend his kingdom. I guess the words of Scripture are better than my silly story. Maybe a better illustration is of the group of Christians who went to a prayer meeting to ask the Lord to send rain, to pray for rain after a long and serious period of drought. But only one took an umbrella. Trust in difficult circumstances? Perhaps another lesson from the Matthew passage is how important it is for people to come to the Lord Jesus himself with their needs rather than relying upon us, when so often our faith is only half mustard seed size. When we know of others going through difficult circumstances, we need in prayer to bring them before the Lord in faith. Do you know of anybody else who's going through a hard time, going through a difficult circumstance? Lay them at the feet of the Lord Jesus in faith for him to deal with them. And if possible, of course, also to tell them about his love and his power. The Proverbs reading that we heard read just a few minutes ago by Barbara, Proverbs chapter 3. I don't know whether you remember that the reading began, "My son, do not forget my teaching and keep my commands in your heart." After the Israelites had been delivered from slavery in Egypt and they'd experienced many, many miracles as they travelled through the wilderness, but memory goes dim. That's in the past. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 9, Moses warns them. This is what Moses said: "Be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." I think that's an important part from the Old Testament. It might help, if it's meaningful to you, to on that blank sheet of the bulletin, to write that verse down, to look at it up when you get home. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Deuteronomy 4, you can write Deut, because it's not quite sure how to spell the word, eh? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Moses warns them. Those of us who have had any dealings with children may recall perhaps the occasions when we've said, "Now, don't forget to thank your friend's mother for having you." Has that ever said to you when you were young? Did you say it to your children? Or maybe, "Now remember to bring home your dirty sports things." Or perhaps, "Now don't forget to ask if you can be excused from band practice so that we can get away early." And then later on, perhaps you've asked, "Did you remember to..." Do you ever say that? Or have that said to you? No wonder, I think the writer of Proverbs says, "Do not forget my words." How easy it is for us to forget the promises of God when we're in difficult circumstances. And trust is hard. Or perhaps we promise to pray for someone only when we see them next, to realise we forgot all about it, because other things have filled our lives. It's like when we're going through difficult times, it crowds out everything else, and we forget what God has done, who He is. The writer of Proverbs says, "My son, do not forget my words and my teaching." And later on in that chapter, we heard Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, the writer going on to say, "Trust in the Lord just a little bit." Was that right? Is that what he said? No, sorry. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Or as other translations say, "make your path straight." We might want to compare those words with what we heard, or rather what it says in Matthew, what Jesus said himself when he talked about faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. But I think the point is that Proverbs gives us the challenge not to depend upon our own understanding, which is finite, which is affected by our own background, our own personality, to depend upon our own knowledge, not to depend upon what is happening right now, rather than relying upon God's sovereignty, His plan to teach us more about Himself and extend His kingdom through us and through the way that we respond to what is happening just now. I remember years ago in London, when walking home from school across a large park in a thick fog. It was a journey that I had made every day to and from the school. Walking back home through this thick fog across the park, I finished up in a street that I didn't recognise, and I had no idea where I was. I then realised I had walked, in fact, in a great curve across the park when I thought I was walking in a straight line. In that difficult circumstance, it would have been better to have been guided rather than relying on my own feelings. I needed to be directed and to have had my path made straight. Not, if you like, to have been led astray by what I thought was the right way to go. I wonder if you've ever been in a car with someone who thinks they know the way, so doesn't listen to advice and doesn't think there's a need to consult a map. I want to ask you to put up your hand if you've experienced that from somebody like that. There's an old gospel song that says, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is..." Anybody know the words? "Follow Him. All I have to do is follow." He knows the way. In Psalm 25 verse 9 says, "He," that is God, "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way." Note, guidance is given to the humble, not to those who think they know what is right. Going through the fog, I thought I knew the way, and I got lost. When in difficulty, we need to ask the Lord to lead, to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16, Isaiah 42:16 says, this is God speaking, He says, "I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them." You may like if that's helpful, to write those references down, to look them home. Look at them later when you get home. Psalm 25, verse 9. Psalm 25, verse 9. Or Isaiah 42, verse 16. Isaiah 42, 16. Set those alongside the Proverbs passage and read them through several times, if you will, especially if or when you're going through difficult circumstances. In the passage from 1 Peter that we heard read again from Barbara just a little while ago, we heard that Peter is writing to the elders, and by that it's not just old people, he's talking about the church, those in church leadership, the eldership, if you like, of the church. He says, those in church leadership positions, as well as to the younger members, because he doesn't leave anybody out, he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Of course, it's hard to be humble, isn't it, when you always know everything and are perfect in every way. Speaking personally, I'm very humble. In fact, I'm quite proud of my humility. And I think it's quite right that other people should be humble. I love 1 Peter 5:7. We heard those words. 1 Peter 5:7, which says, cast all your anxiety on him, that is the Lord, because he cares for you. This is a verse we may have been given perhaps by others when we've been going through difficult circumstances. It was one that often appeared in the old-fashioned things that were called promise boxes. Those of us who are pretty ancient might remember promise boxes. That was one of the verses, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Isn't that great to hear when we're confused or when we're in the middle of a hard time? When people or things perhaps we usually rely on seem not to be there anymore. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. Isn't that wonderful? But then my eye goes to what comes immediately before those words. Barbara read that Peter reminds his readers of some words from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, would you believe? Guess where our reading from Proverbs came from? He quotes from Proverbs, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. In the light of that, Peter then writes, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety, all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Note what we are to do before casting our anxieties on God. Note also that we are to humble ourselves. It is not something that God does for us. I like it that God will lift me up. I'm thrilled that I can cast all my anxiety on God because of his care for me. But to be honest, I'm not quite so thrilled that I need to humble myself before him. What about you? As I think about that, I'm reminded of my Saviour, who we read in Philippians chapter 2, that Jesus took the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Can you think of anyone who ever went through more difficult circumstances than Jesus? And what did he do? He humbled himself obediently to his Father's will, and God raised him up. In difficult circumstances, we need to follow Jesus in trust and to respond in humble obedience. It's the right way to go. It's the only way to go. It may help when at home that you read through again the 9 lessons that have been set out for all these 3 weeks and to pray about them. I wonder perhaps if I could ask you to do something else. If you don't think this is being cheeky on my behalf, you might like perhaps to write down on your bulletin sheet something you believe God may have made known to you. Not what I've said, but what God has made known to you or reminded you about. Trust in difficult circumstances. What would God make known to us? Let's pray. Gracious Father, in this fast, busy, and often confusing world, where quietness and trust is not always easy when difficulties arise, we pray that you will give to us patience to listen attentively to your voice, humility to receive your truth, and grace to respond obediently to your revealed will for our lives as we are guided by your Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name, and we say together, Amen.